I don't want, you can see in the first part, my main burden is really not so much on the details of the service of the New Testament priesthood. And that is something that we can develop and fellowship more about. My burden is really that we will all see who we are, that we truly are God's priests in this age today. As John the Baptist was as a transitory figure, or transitional figure in this case, and really the Lord himself, you read the Gospels, the Lord was there truly a priest of God. Just, amen. What did he do? The Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, as I said already, he didn't come and abolish slavery. He did not come to cause a revolution to change the Roman Empire. He didn't do any of those. He came to live a life preaching and to God's people, the Jews, the Israelites in the Holy Land. And he ended his life as at a young age of 33 or so, dying on the cross. Not only he didn't change the world, he changed the universe. He died on the cross, a very, very difficult and cruel death, and that is by crucifixion. He bled, he gave up himself for our sins, that we may be saved and that we may be redeemed and brought back to God. But he didn't stop there. He arose in resurrection. This Christ became the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit that you cannot even see. And as that Spirit, he now can come into everyone whom he redeemed, to regenerate them, to give them a new birth, to give them the life, the divine life, the life of God, so that they can all become children of God. This is not changing society. You know what? This is really changing society from the inside. If you see the human nature, you will realize that nothing that men would try to do to better themselves, to better the world around them, would not work, because they themselves have a problem. They themselves cannot help themselves, and how can they help others? Even on the cross, he still saved a sinner, one of those who was crucified next to him, a malefactor, a criminal, someone who deserved to die in this way, not him. But he prayed for him, and that person was saved while he was dying, the Lord himself. So, brothers and sisters, I hope that we would all see this. So the Lord Jesus, he came, he met with crowds, he spoke to crowds, he met with many, many individuals of all kinds, especially if you read the book of John, the blind man, am I right? The impotent man, the sick man, even one who is dead and buried in the tomb by the name of Lazarus, he resurrected him. rich man, poor man, moral people, immoral people. He didn't care. He spent his time with tax collectors, which are very bad people in those days, with prostitutes. All kinds of people. That's what he did. He drew near to them. He had compassion on them. He cared for them. He wanted to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what God came to do. That's what Christ did. So the Lord was there actually busily offering. He was really the priest of God offering. You know, there are two orders of the priesthood in the according to the book of Hebrews. One is the Aaronic order, the other is the order according to Melchizedek. The Aaronic order is the priesthood of redemption, carrying out the sacrifices of these bulls and goats for man's the expiation of their sins, and so on. And the Melchizedek order is actually an older order. Before the Aaronic order, this king of Salem, right, who is a high priest, he came to minister bread and wine to the victorious Abram. So, and that means what? His priesthood is also one of supplying, dispensing life, the bread and wine to God's fighting people who are fighting on the earth for his interest. So these two priesthood, one was accomplished by the Lord on the earth in his earthly ministry. One is still going on as part of his ministry in the heavenlies. You and I are sitting here right now. Do you know that Melchizedek, the great high priest, the Lord Jesus, is right now ministering to you?
Amen.
The bread and the wine.
Amen.
He himself as the bread and the wine for your supply, for your enjoyment. And he is still carrying out that part of the priesthood today. What a priest we have in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But his desire is not only that he would be them, be the priest, but eventually all the apostles, the disciples that he personally perfected and trained, were all to become his extension in this same service to what? Not that they can die on behalf of our sins. Only Christ can do that. But to preach the gospel of repentance. Am I right? To preach the gospel of salvation from sins. To preach the gospel of being delivered from the world. And so on and so forth. The gospel of the eternal life. They would do that, including Paul. And their teaching to us, the apostles' teaching to us, which are all in the Word now, in the New Testament, is saying that you, not just the apostle, but what? But you all of you should be what? Our priests, and should be built up into a holy priesthood to offer up the spiritual sacrifices as they did and as the Lord Jesus did. So this matter of the priesthood is a great, great matter. And we need to have this vision of what we're doing here today. Now, we're not talking about in this matter preaching the gospel that you have to be some great evangelist. You have to be the next Billy Graham. You need to save thousands and thousands of people. No. But we're talking about each one of us as a small priest of the gospel. we should what? Serve the Lord in a small way, in the way where the Lord has placed us, where the Lord has assigned us, with the people around us, in our current situation. We're here all the time, just in the church life, serving Him as a priesthood in this way. Now, there's something also very important that I talked about last time. I don't have the time to talk about this morning, is that these priests are not scattered individuals. These priests need to be built up. That's why in Peter it says, you also as living stones. The Lord Jesus is the living stone, but we come to Him also as living stones, being transformed, regenerated, and transformed. And we should what? Be built up as a what? As a spiritual house into a spiritual priesthood to offer these sacrifices. Besides the matter of presenting men as sacrifices to God, of course, this offering, when the Bible talks about the offering of sacrifices, there are other kinds of sacrifices that we offer, right? One such offering is the offering of praise, the sacrifice of our lips in Hebrews 13 is our praise, our confession of the Lord's name. Brothers and sisters, when we come to the meetings, when we gather, we should not be silent. We should not have nothing to say. We should come together as priests, what? To praise God.
Amen.
To praise the Lord. You know, at the Lord's table meeting and at other meetings, we should what? We should offer up the sacrifice of our lips, confessing His name. You know, in the clergy-related system, only the clergy does all the speaking, kind of like what I'm doing here. But what the Lord wants is all of the priests to worship and to praise Him. So don't come to the meeting quiet. You are abdicating your responsibility as a priest of God. You should come and praise the Lord.
Amen.
I hope all the working saints are all praising saints.
Amen.
All would come. Another offering that the Old Testament priests offer in type is that they burn incense at another altar holy place, or even holiest of all. And that would be what? That is a picture of prayer. That golden incense altar. You know, in the outer court, they have the bronze altar for the offering of these animals and burn offerings, sacrifices. But inside, they don't burn animals. They what? They burn the fire with what? With the, what do you call it? The spices, huh? For fragrance to offer to God. What is the picture? That picture is the picture of prayer. I tell you, one big job, if you will, a service of the priest is in fact prayer. Prayer. So when you even get up in the morning, you pray to the Lord, you are a priest. You're right there doing your priestly duty to burn the incense to God. You come with a few brothers or a few sisters to pray. I tell you, you are there functioning as priest. When you come to Tuesday night or Wednesday night church prayer meeting, you come there, don't come there and sit there. You should come there to pray.
Amen.
And your prayer, joining the saints corporately in prayer, you are functioning as a priest. In fact, the whole church is functioning as a priesthood at this golden incense altar. The prayer of intercession, the prayer of petition, the prayer with thanksgiving, all manners of prayer. The church should be a house of prayer, a house of praying priests.
Amen.
You see, this, do you see how our whole church life in all aspects are what? Is filled with the priestly service in so many directions. And what we're emphasizing here today is perhaps one of the greatest aspects of the priestly service in the New Testament, and that is to offer men to God.
Amen.
To offer people to God. Moms, any moms here? No? There are moms here, right? Okay, thank you. I tell you, in a way, the Lord gave you two or three kids, right? Children. I tell you, to raise up your children for the Lord is a priestly service.
Amen.
You are mothers. You should be doing a job, not just make sure they're fed, not make sure they're okay, make sure one day they will go to Stanford. No, no, no. You know what your main job is with your children? Make sure they will be saved.
Amen.
Make sure they will all become lovers of Christ.
Amen.
Make sure they will all become followers of Jesus.
Amen.
Make sure that even they will be servants of the Lord.
Amen.
And one day, what if one of your children wants to serve the Lord with all their time, with everything? You should rejoice.
Amen.
You should be happy.
Yes.
This is a one big offering.
Amen.
To God. I tell you, heard recently, you have this sixth grade conference here or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
Next week,
and then probably after that, there may be some baptisms for these children. Am I right? I tell you, it's not a small thing, moms. You have to, from the time when your baby is in the womb, you should be praying, offering. You should be offering that womb. You should be offering that. Paul says, I was what? I was separated in my mother's womb. So don't think the womb is too early, all right? In the womb, you should start offering your kid to the Lord.
Amen.
They are not yours, by the way. They are the Lord's. They are just given to you temporary for your care, for your stewardship. They belong to God.
Amen.
Your children does not belong to you. It's not just for your satisfaction. So one day they can, make money for you and all that kind of stuff. They are for God.
Amen.
And to nurture and raise up a little Samuel, right? You remember Samuel's mother, Hannah, who prayed even before conception. Before conception, she was already praying. And if you, Jehovah, you give me a child, I'm going to give him back to you. I'm going to lend him to you for your interest. And that she kept her word. And from a little child, she put on the ephod and sent them to be with Eli and learn the ways in the tabernacle. And Samuel became one of the last priests that is known. And he changed the age. Didn't he, Samuel, in the age of the kingdom? Okay, all these things. Sisters, to raise up a child in the Lord and for the Lord is an offering of a sacrifice.
Amen.
So no, you're not Billy Graham. You're not D.L. Moody. You're not C.H. Spurgeon. We're not telling you all to be great evangelists in that way. We're saying, just where you are, in your station, where the Lord has assigned you, you have your children, the mothers, and dads as well, your children. you know, my wife, you know, I have two daughters. Of course, they are all grown and they have mothers today. Pray for the two children of hers nonstop. Read the Bible every night. It's a long offering process. That's what I'm saying. It at least until 12 years old or whatever, whenever, right? That they got saved and baptized, and it doesn't even end there, right? And saints, those of you who may be serving with our children in the church or young people, don't think that, oh, I'm assigned to children's work. I'm working with the young people. Don't think. Think about you are a priest.
Amen.
And all these little children are your offerings. You're laboring to offer them to God. Maybe one day you have to pass them on to another age group of care, but you are doing your job to offer them. That's why we need to be coordinated in the church life. And these young people, those of you who are serving with the young people, this is a great thing. You're not just babysitting. You're not just caring for these naughty kids. You are there, what? Nurturing them with a view to offering them by your care. One day, they will consecrate them. They will not just be saved. They will consecrate themselves to the Lord. They will go to the, after college, they will go to the full-time training.
Amen.
Am I right? And after the training, they may serve the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you, this is a great, great thing. This is more important than zeros in your bank account.
Amen.
Those zeros will turn into nothing but zeros.
Yes.
Really zeros. A lot of them. But everyone is zero. What does that mean? Compared to one being offered to God. Those of you who are working in the campus work, they're full-timers here. I don't know. I tell you, you're not just some full-timer running around a campus doing some campus work. Yes, having Bible studies, this and that, this and that. You are their offering. When you go to campus, think of yourself as a priest. You are doing a work of offering. The elders, their work is the work of offering. To minister to the saints, to visit the saints, to teach the saints, to perfect the saints, that they would grow, that they would function, they will serve. All the shepherding work is to offer, right? All the gospel preaching work is to offer. Our entire church life is an offering. It is what? It is a priestly work, a priestly service. And our service to the Lord is just a service of a priest. Everything we touch, we are offering to God. Something would be offered to God. One day, before the judgment seat of Christ, when we have to give an account, the Lord won't check your bank account. Trust me. It will be the last thing in his mind. How much did you make? Well, I'll tell you, when the kingdom comes, money means will be like tissue paper, means nothing, useless. So we better give. Well, the Bible says, I tell you, even to offer material offering is a sacrifice.
Right.
Philippians chapter 4. Paul considered the offering of the saints, money, material things for the apostle, for the Lord's work, for the gospel. These are also in this age in the offering, an offering to him. When that age comes, all this will mean nothing. The money all will mean nothing. It will be worse than the rubles today, you know. Brothers and sisters, I hope you will get this. You will see this. Let us turn our whole church life everywhere into one big priesthood.
Amen.
Everything that we do, we're offering.
Amen.
A little bit here, a little bit there, with the young ones, with children, with young people, with college age, with saints. We are just offering.
This is our real church life. This is our real job.
This is our real work. Write this song. Don't you like this song we just sang? Sing it again. Sing it again. All right. I will just read the rest here. It's something that we all can do. Don't excuse yourself and say, I don't have the gift. I cannot do this. No, you're born a priest to do this. All right. Quickly. In order to serve as New Testament priests of the gospel, we need to enter into the following crucial matters. We need to enter into the living of the priest of the gospel of God. You want to be a priest? It's not going to the seminary. It's not going to the Bible school. It is to start to live like a priest, to live the priestly life. Well, what does that mean? Quickly, number one, the living of a priest of the gospel of God is one being revived every morning. You need to be the vital person. We spent so many lessons of vitality to be revived. The prerequisite of being an operative priest is you need to be a revived and living person full of Christ. And so you and I need to be revived every morning to touch the Lord, to fellowship with Him, to call on His name, to pray His word. We need to be revived to be such a priest. Number two, the living of a priest of the gospel of God is one who is overcoming every day. So when you go to your job, you live as an overcomer. You don't succumb to the things of the earth, all the temptation, all the evil things, all the common things that surround you. You live an overcoming life, overcoming the world, overcoming sin, overcoming so many things. Three, the living of a priest of the gospel of God is one being filled with the Spirit every moment. We talk about this already, right? To be vital, we need to be those who are filled in the Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how a New Testament priest operates. Four, the living of a priest of the gospel of God is one who is speaking Christ everywhere. Your neighbors, your colleagues at work, the people around us, we speak Christ to them. You know, brothers and sisters, today, I tell you, there's so many noises, so many things. Everyone is speaking. And when you speak louder, I get louder than you. People shout. Nowadays, people don't talk. They shout. They scream. They even need to scream because I want to be louder than you. I need to subdue you. This is the society we're in today. What should we do? Should we go scream with them? No, we should speak.
Amen.
We have something real to speak.
Amen.
We have something meaningful to speak. We are speaking concerning their eternal destiny. We're speaking to them about what? The meaning of life. We're speaking to them about what? Their salvation. We're speaking to them about the life of God. We're speaking to them about the real truth in this universe. We need to speak. We should not be silent, not engaged in the political discourse, not engaged in all these kind of things, but we speak something high.
Amen.
We speak something spiritual.
Amen.
We speak something divine, the gospel of God. People need to hear that. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
People just have lost it. The whole society have lost it. All these kind of smart talk, all hot air about nothing. Sorry to say, we have the real thing. Let us speak. Okay, B, as priests, we should be built up together to be a priesthood. That is a priestly body. Two or three priests must be built up together as a priesthood. Merely to go out to preach the gospel by ourselves are not adequate. We must be built together with others. So, saints, I would like to really promote that you are a priest for sure, and you need to function as one. But besides being a priest yourself, you must find another priest, one or two, to be your co-priest, companion priest. Because by yourself, it's hard to sustain, hard to keep going. But if you have companions and you serve together, which is the principle of the Bible, to be built up with you, you serve together. So find a companion or two. Find a time or two in the week to pray together. And find another time to go and contact people. We'll talk about more about these practical matters here. Well, I actually ran out of time. I won't get into B here. I hope that you would study them and get into them yourself. I just come to C. We need to be a lover of men. Every worker of the Lord must have not only a love for the brothers, but also a love for all men. Their heart should be so broad that they can include and embrace all men. They should be able to embrace the whole human race into their bosom. I believe that not having the Father's loving and forgiving heart and not having the Savior's shepherding and seeking spirit is the reason for our barrenness, our lack of fruit today. The fruit that is in the form of human beings. Lastly, the priesthood is for God's building. The focus of our service is to save sinners and offer them to God. And the goal of our service is the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, I finish with this. Every person that we bring to the Lord as a priest of the gospel, that we offer up to the Lord over time in this kind of a spiritual way, they are members of Christ's body. They are sinners, but they are saved to be and redeemed, and they also regenerated to the to be children of God. But they also become the members of Christ, and even the members of the body of Christ. So, when you offer this person here, okay, right here, I'm saved, I nourish him, I care for him, I shepherd him, I teach him, I perfect him, and so on and so forth, and I offer him, right, to God. This is not just a sinner offered to God. This is a member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
That is being growing in life and being perfected.
Amen.
He will be functioning, becoming another priest.
Amen.
Right? To offer up even more and more people to God. So, dear ones, by doing this, this is my conclusion today, we are actually building up the body of Christ.
Amen.
This is how the body grows. This is how the body increases. And this is how the body is being built up. How about have a little prayer with your neighbor for a minute based on this word?
Huh?